Welcome back to another episode of Get Serious, Rapid Fire Reactions. Every day of my life, someone thinks they've got the sports take that'll shut me down. Well, now I'm giving you the chance to prove it. On my new show on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, I rolled out a feature where you can actually send me your take instantly in your own voice. It's called Get Serious. So here's the question. Can the ones who think they're ready to challenge me really hold their own? On the Stephen A. Smith Show, I've got a rating system that I take very, very seriously. Your take can range anywhere from blasphemous to respectable to you've lost your damn mind to now that's serious. And of course, we don't care. One of you will walk away with the ultimate badge of honor, by the way, the coveted Stephen A. Smith take of the day. But one will be immortalized on the Stephen A. Smith wall of shame. All right, let's get to it. Fire up the board, please. Let's get right to it. Let's hear it. What you got?
Let me say this much. Dallas Cowboys fans are delusional. Let me tell you how delusional they are. I got a better chance of seeing the UFO before the Cowboys win the championship. I got a better chance of climbing Mount Everest. I got a better chance of swimming across the Atlantic Ocean than the Dallas Cowboys winning the championship. So I'm going to keep all the Cowboy fans in prayer. Go Eagles, baby.
I like that, man. I like him. Listen, I'm not one to be sitting there looking at a man and calling him handsome. But handsome N from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I mean, he hit the nail. He hit it right on it. You understand? Hit the nail right on the head. Bottom line is, it is delusional to think the Dallas Cowboys are going to win anything, okay? So of all the grades that I'd be tempted to give them, okay, I'm just looking at it right now, and I'm not sure whether or not it's going to be my take of the day or am I going to take that seriously. Now, that's serious. I don't know which one. It might be my take of the day. I'm going to hold off on giving that kind of grade, at least for the moment. But I got to admit it, that was a damn good take because it shows you've been listening to Stephen A. That's what it's really about. You've been watching your boy Stephen A., haven't you? You've been watching your boy, and you knew how I would feel, and you knew I would love it, and that's what you did. Way to go, handsome man. Way to go. Let me get the next one, please. Let's see what you got.
Kansas City Chiefs dynasty is officially over. They just suffered a loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're currently 2-3. They have to pull themselves out of this mess. I think they're frauds. I don't think they're making it to the Super Bowl this year. Maybe not even the playoffs. They're falling apart. They're not good.
William, Sunbury, Pennsylvania, you tripping. You tripping, okay? First of all, it's 5 games into the season. This is Patrick Mahomes that we're talking about. It's going to take you some things to figure out. I got that part. Jacksonville is actually decent this year. Trevor Lawrence is playing better. Thomas can ball. Travis Hunter can do his thing. ETN can run that damn football. Their defense is respectable. Let's show some respect to the Jacksonville Jaguars for what they're doing right now. And Liam Cohen has proven to be a really quality coach, at least for the time being. So give respect where it's due. As for the Kansas City Chiefs, Rashee Rice is scheduled to come back after next week, okay? Missing the first 6 games of the season. They've got Hollywood Brown. They've got Thornton. They've got Kelce. They've got Juju Smith-Schuster, okay? They've got all of these cats right now. And when you look at it from that standpoint, I'm looking at them and I'm saying Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid with all of their weapons and their arsenal, who knows what they're going to be. They might not win the Super Bowl this year. That's fair enough. Take the field over Kansas City. But to imply that they ain't going to even make the playoffs, that's downright blasphemous. And that's the kind of grade I'm giving you. Blasphemous, because it makes no damn sense. Give me the next one, please.
Stephen A., my take is that we are living in currently the worst, and I mean the worst, age of sports commentating ever. Not purely because of the commentators, but that everyone has a chance to be a commentator themselves, and obviously not everyone should be able to have a microphone and have an opinion.
Danny S. in Haynesport, New Jersey, you're not totally wrong. By the way, I used to live out there. Beautiful area, by the way. Kind of miss it. But let me say this to you, Danny. I get your point, but it's not complete. Yeah. When you say everyone has a chance to be a commentator, well, the audience determines who they want to listen to and who they don't. If people ain't qualified, if people don't have information, if people don't have sources, they haven't cultivated resources to acquire intel that could be edifying to an audience as well as entertaining, then what the hell are you doing listening to them for? Maybe, just maybe, if you were a bit more selective in choosing, I'm not talking about you directly, but just generically speaking about an audience, if you're choosy and you make sure that people need to be qualified in order to be able to listen or to be willing to listen to your opinion, then everybody wouldn't really have a chance to be a commentator. They wouldn't qualify. I remember a star, and I'm not going to say his name, but he told me this. I never forget this as long as I live, about wannabe paparazzis and journalists and stuff like that. He said, I don't talk to them. I talk to reputable journalists. He said, because they've earned the right to come up to somebody like me and ask questions. Not somebody who didn't put in the work, but are adapting to the times that we're living in, and they got a camera and a microphone, and they're getting something for clickbait without working their way through the terrain in order to earn a spot at the top of an industry. I don't respect that. That's what the guy said to me. I never forgot that. And that's why I always come to the table with my credentials. I talk about what I have done, not to brag about how high quality it is or whatever, because it could all be subjective, but to show that I've earned this. It wasn't given, it was earned. It's work that came with it. And I always make sure it's important for people to remember that. You should too. I respect your take, and that's the grade I'm gonna give it. Respectable, but I'm gonna stop it right there. Let's go to the next one, please.
What's up, Stephen A? I think Arch Manning is the most overhyped player in college football history. I don't even think it's close. Texas, they come in ranked number one in the preseason, which never happened. And he was preseason Heisman Trophy favorite. And he's just not performing.
Jackson B, Abilene, Texas. You're absolutely right on the money. I get where you're coming from. The grade that I would give you is obviously, now I'm not going to take that seriously, but I don't think it's fair to judge Arch Manning. He didn't rate himself. He didn't hype himself. All he did was come to Texas. He sat down for two seasons, worked his way up to being the starting quarterback. They were the number one ranked team in the country. It's not his fault that they got that wrong. Think about this for a second. Ohio State was the national champion, the reigning defending national champion, and came into the season opener against Texas, ranked third in the country. Now, how that makes sense, that Texas ranked number one, but they were the underdogs against Ohio State, okay, at Ohio State. That don't make any damn sense. But that's what folks were doing because they wanted to hype Arch Manning. I feel bad for him because I think the kid still has promise and he still could potentially have a bright future. Clearly ain't ready for the big time yet compared to what his uncles, Peyton and Eli, were capable of. But the bottom line is none of that is his fault. He's been minding his business, trying to be the best football player that he can be, and everybody overhyped him just because of his name. That's not on him. And that's why I don't like, that's what I don't like about your take. I know what you're talking about, and it makes sense in terms of the reality of the situation, them not being worthy of being number one overall, but it wasn't his fault. He didn't do that. People who should have known better had no business rating Texas number one and rating him a Heisman Trophy finalist. They were clearly a bit presumptive with their selections and their prognostications, and they were wrong. I get your point. I'ma still label it respectable, but I'm not gonna go any further than that. Next one, please, show it to me.
Hey, Stephen A. Smith, I would like to know your thoughts on why is it when we talk about the WNBA players and Caitlin Clark, do we always reference them as being jealous instead of just simply competing, like in the men's game? Would also like to know your thoughts on the up-and-coming CBA. Thanks.
April, appreciate the voicemail message. I get your point. Here's the thing about Caitlin Clark. We reference them as being jealous because that's how the hell they acted. A rising tide lifts all boats. You knew this white girl coming out of college at Iowa was a big-time baller, okay? You knew she was box office. You knew she was worthy of being the number one overall pick. You knew that she was a sharpshooter. She had credentials. And instead of appreciating that and envisioning what she'd be able to do collectively for the entire WNBA brand, if not all of female basketball, like Team USA, which didn't put her on the team, if you had capitalized off of her marketability as the Golden Goose, you might be in a better position than you are now. But you had former players and present players, not all, not most, but some of them, acting very jealous. Now, Caitlin Clark wasn't innocent. She chirped a lot and she was antagonistic to some people, no doubt about that, because her competitive juices came flowing. And I understand that. But the bottom line is, the Golden Goose is the Golden Goose. Magic and Bird was it. But when Michael Jordan came into the league and took the league by storm, you didn't detect any jealousy from them. They knew that he was elevating the brand, which was helping to make money for all of them. They appreciated that instead of resisted it. The WNBA didn't do that, and that's part of their problem. And it still is part of their problem right now as the CBA negotiation is taking place. Because what are the players doing? They're walking around talking about how underappreciated they are. And oh, by the way, wearing t-shirts during All-Star Weekend that says, pay us what you owe us. That's not how you negotiate a collective bargaining agreement. That's not going to get the fans in your favor. That's not going to buffer your status at the negotiating table. You got to think. They're right. They are valued, and they should be even more valued, no doubt about it. But the WNBA did spend years losing money, so you got to take that into consideration as well. They haven't enough, not the particulars, and that's part of their problem. Had you paid attention to the particulars, you would have realized even more so the value of a Caitlin Clark and utilized her to get even more of what you deserve. Therefore, people wouldn't be calling you jealous. That's my answer to your question, April. But that's a fabulous take, and I think that's competing with Handsome N for my take of the day. But let's see what else is out there. Let me see the next voicemail.
Stephen A., this is my rant, baby. I want to know what the heck is going on with my Baltimore Ravens, right? I know that we try to play homage to a lot of these coaches that have been in the game for a long time. I just think it's time to move on for John Harbaugh. We should have kept Matt, not let him get to Seattle. I think we have a better flow. We got to do something with this defense.
Tavon and Macon, Georgia, you're right. But the reality is that you got a whole bunch of injuries. So when you ask the question, what the heck is going on with your Baltimore Ravens, why don't you just check the injury list? Madubuike, Hamilton, and others. Lamar Jackson's out right now as well. They've had a plethora of injuries, okay? And when you lose that much personnel, okay, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, you're going to be compromised. Now, they shouldn't look as bad as they've been looking, but there is a reason why they've been struggling, and we cannot deny that. So I'm going to label your take, you know what? Respectable. But you're not getting a better grade than that. Next voicemail, please. Play it for me.
Tyreek Hill is the second greatest wide receiver of all time behind Randy Moss, and it's not even close.
Gabe, have you been drug tested? Are you sniffing something in the middle of the afternoon or drinking something? Because to not have Jerry Rice up there, you have lost your ever-loving mind. That easily goes on my wall of shame. You have lost your damn mind. Get the hell out of here. Let me hear the next voicemail message, please.
All right, Stephen A., hear me out. So this is called Get Serious, so I'm about to get serious. And very serious when I say this. Anthony Edwards, a bad man in Minnesota, is going to go down as a top three shooting guard of all time. And he is not number three.
Okay. D'Angelo, Kankakee, Illinois? Fine. I'm going to say you lost your damn mind. Because if you're thinking about the top off guards, okay, top three shooting guards of all time, obviously people are going to assume you're thinking about Michael Jordan, you're thinking about Kobe Bryant. And you might as well throw Dwayne Wade in there too, because I think that he could easily be in the conversation for top three. So one dude has six rings, okay, and is one of the top five scorers in the history of basketball. Another dude has five rings, God rest his soul, and he's also a top five all-time basketball scoring. And another dude is D. Wade, who has three rings. Anthony Edwards hasn't even made an NBA Finals yet. I love the kid. Love him. Him and Steph Curry are still my two favorite players to watch in the NBA. And I also want to say that I think that Anthony Edwards ultimately will capture an NBA championship. I love how he's improved his J. I love his ball handling skills. I love his athleticism is off the charts. And he's got heart. But you see, he got humbled against Oklahoma City because they didn't have the horses, the personnel to go up against Oklahoma City and that defense. I get that part. And Shai Gilgeous is special. I'm just saying, regardless of talent, you can't sit there and put him top three and you said he's not even three, when we all know the top two that you're talking about has 11 rings combined in MJ and Kobe. You got to at least let him get a chip first, because all of that comes with it. It's blasphemy for you to think otherwise. Absolutely blasphemy, which is why I'm giving you the score or the label that I'm giving you. Blasphemous. We're going to go with my take of the day. And that's for the young lady, April, who called in and left a voicemail message about Caitlin Clark, the WNBA, and jealousy. All right? Handsome and you had it until she came along. But what happened was she broke it down. She broke it down. And when she broke it down in a way that provoked a response from me that I think will educate so many people about what's going on with the WNBA, which is far more important, Handsome N, than the take that you called in with, although respectable. She gets my take of the day, without question. Because after listening to her question and hearing my answer, we should know all we need to know, not just about the WNBA and where it is, but the WNBA and where it's going, if they read the tea leaves and pay attention and start thinking about the cash, thinking about the cash instead of just talking about it. I might know a little something about that just in case you don't know. Just a little. That's it for this edition of Get Serious with your boy. Until next time, peace and love. You think you can do better than these folks? Then you know what to do. Head over to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Send me your boldest voicemail. And remember, you only have 20 seconds to prove your point. So don't waste my time. If your take's legit, I'll call you back and we can discuss it on air for real. Simple as that. Listen live to The Stephen A. Smith Show, only on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with replays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is The Stephen A. Smith Show, and this is Get Serious.